You're listening to Morning Edition on WNYC. This is music that inspired one of the most successful musicals this Broadway season.
I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down.
Beautiful, the Carole King musical grossed $1.3 million last week, the second biggest box office winner, just behind the musical Aladdin. Then there was the production inspired by this music, which didn't do so well.
Just a rap song, a black song. Telling all my brothers get they strap on and look for me in the struggle. Hustle into other brothers' bubble. Holler if you hear me.
Holler If You Hear Me, based on the songs of late rapper Tupac Shakur, closed after just 6 weeks of performances. They're both examples of jukebox musicals, productions that use previously released popular songs as its score. Here to discuss when jukebox musicals work and when they don't and why are theater critics Elizabeth Vincentelli of The New York Post and Adam Feldman of Time Out New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Now, the Broadway audience, according to the Broadway League, is about 70% female, and its average age is 42. So it seems kind of obvious that a musical about Carole King would probably do better than one about Tupac. Is it that simple?
Well, to some extent, it's that simple. It's not an accident that we have all of these jukebox musicals at the same time that are celebrating boomer-friendly music. So we have Jersey Boys, and we have Mamma Mia, and we have Beautiful, and we have Motown. That's the music that that generation has aged into, and those are the standards of this generation. But not all of them necessarily work. It really depends on the craftsmanship.
I think Broadway producers are very savvy, and they know that familiarity breeds ticket sales, and it does work a lot. But Adam is right. You need a certain amount of craftsmanship, and you can't just package together a few songs and put your own little compilation and put it out there.
Let me ask you this about Holler, Holler If You Hear Me. What were the producers banking on or thinking if they were basically working against the demographic, the Broadway demographic?
The frame of that show was pretty much an update on the mix of both from, you know, West Side Story. Very, very classic book structure there. And I think there was a friction between the style of the show and the Tupac material. They tried to make it approachable and accessible to what they thought would be a wide audience.
How did the jukebox musical come about in the first place?
Currently, we date it back on Broadway usually to the show Ain't Misbehavin', which was a review of Fats Waller songs.
1978.
Yeah, and it was a huge hit. It's really the big breakthrough for jukebox musicals as commercial successes was Mamma Mia.
Which is still running, amazingly enough,
yeah.
On Broadway.
How many years has it been? It
opened in 2001, is what I mean. And it opened in London, I think, 99.
There's another jukebox musical currently running off-Broadway called Piece of My Heart, the Burt Burns story. Burt Burns is not exactly a household name. What's the idea here, and do you expect producers to be digging deeper for jukebox material?
Well, in this case, the producers didn't have to dig very deep personally because the producers are the children of Burt Burns. Now, this guy's work is very good. But the way that they've done it is in a very unfortunate, I think, way, in that they have tried to shoehorn it into a very dramatic story, his story. So it tries to be a biomusical, but it doesn't want to have any of the performers who sang it replicated on stage, because its whole point is that you should be listening to his story, not the story of the singers who made the songs famous. Janis Joplin, the people who made his songs famous, not even name dropped.
Would you say it's actually harder to write a good jukebox musical than it is to write maybe an original musical?
I wouldn't say harder. There are pluses and minuses. The easy part is you don't have to write the songs. And you've got a lot of great songs to work with. The hard part is avoiding the traps of calling attention to the songs and how badly they fit the show.
I think there's a lot of people being very upset by the rise of the jukebox musical. I don't think there's anything to be upset or afraid of. It is what it is. It's something that's always existed in one form or another. If it's there, you're gonna repackage it and sell it over and over and over, because there's always an audience who's gonna want to see something that they already know, and it's fine in a way.
Yeah,
if it's well done.
I do get upset about it a little. Not upset. I do. I am concerned about it a little bit. But the issue, as always, is separating out the individual show, some of which are very, very good, from the aggregate trend, which is troubling.
What are your concerns?
I'm concerned that people are losing the ability to listen to new material, to serious new material in the theater. And that hurts shows like, for example, Bridges of Madison County.
That is a great example, actually, of a show that was such... The more I think about it, the more upset I get, because I think that show got such a short thrift and not enough serious attention was paid to it because of the cloud of the reputation of the book and the movie.
Yeah, people went in thinking, I shouldn't like this. And they had to work, the show had to work uphill against that. And I think they did. I thought they did a beautiful job. But that also has that extra requirement now of listening to a serious new musical theater score by Jason Robert Brown. It's beautiful, but you have to be open to it.
Are you saying audiences are lazy?
Yeah, audiences are getting lazy.
And critics.
Critics are part of the audience. And to a large extent, that's part of our role, is to be audience representatives.
Lazy theater critics Elizabeth Vincentelli of the New York Post and Adam Feldman of Time Out New York. Thanks so much for coming on this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Morning Edition on WNYC.